But for us, we always set out to be a profitable startup, right? And because of that, we were lucky to be able to sustain throughout that winter, right?
Until now.
And still growing, right?
Yeah.
DS Podcast minggu ini bersama saya, Yeni Yusra.
Kali ini kita akan berbincang-bincang dengan CEO Chufu, TJ Tam. Hi TJ, how are you?
Hello.
So is it TJ Tam or TJ Tam?
Anyway, you want to pronounce it, but people just call me TJ. It's Etras Jakarta.
Okay, Etras Jakarta. So talk to me about Chufu. You've been, what, 1 year right now?
Yeah, like a year and a half, I think. Yeah. It's doing great. We love working with brands, developing products, addressing the consumer needs. So as Jufu with the House of Brand concept, right? It's right up what we love to do, mm-hmm. especially myself, having that, experience and having my background prior to Grab,
yeah.
right? Being in more in that space, right?
So it's interesting. We've talked about this mm-hmm. before, right? You've yeah. been in Grab for how long now?
Almost a decade.
Almost 10 years. And yeah. then you change your... Mm-hmm. business, not mm-hmm. necessarily going to the right hellions and
yep.
stuff like that, but yep. you change your business into the brand aggregator. How is it your role and your experience before building Chufu until now?
Yeah, I think Chufu as a house of brand and leveraging that brand aggregator model to scale up in the early days, it's been very exciting because, we grew from, call it zero, all the way up to 6 brands right now. Mm-hmm. We have 600 plus employees, 5,000 square meters of office and warehouse space, close to 3,000 SKUs in our portfolio and, mm-hmm. Growing, right? So we really were able to address the needs of a lot of the Indonesian UKM, mm-hmm. right? The brand owners that, they had a lot of challenges. And I think with our business model, the resources that we have, the tools, we're able to help them grow and scale up the business to a national brand, right, in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. So how is it brand aggregator then and now?
Hey.
How do you, what is your take on that? Is there any difference whatsoever, or this is the right time for brand aggregator to thrive? What do you think about that?
Yeah, so... to be honest, the whole brand aggregator idea
yeah.
is not new, right? If you think of it, you look back at private equity, you look at conglomerates,
mm-hmm.
they are an aggregation of brands,
yeah.
right? You look at a Unilever, a Wings, a Ote, they have multiple brands, mm-hmm. right? So that's, in a way, a very large brand aggregator, a house of brands.
Yeah.
Right? I think today, what we are doing is just addressing a different segment of company size in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? Those talk about the 80, 100, $200 million type businesses at least, right? Mm-hmm. For us, we work with UKM, mm-hmm. right? So we work with much smaller businesses,
yeah.
right? In the puluhan M or M1 range per year kind mm-hmm. of revenue. So that whole concept is very legacy. It's been around, but we just have a different segment that we're approaching. So it's, I would say it's something that's evergreen because one more thing we do is we work with profitable brands, right? We're building a sustainable long-term business, mm-hmm. hopefully generational,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it can be passed down to the next flag bearers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a good time for where we are because, mm-hmm. People always need goods and products. So
yeah.
I don't think there's a bad time for it. If you're saying, is it better sort of pre-COVID yeah. or pre-financial winter, uh-huh. I think from a funding perspective, of course, it's a bit more exciting back then.
Yeah. Right?
Because I think we get higher valuations, probably more funds are investing into mm-hmm. companies and hence, we can see more growth in that way. But mm-hmm. I think if you're building a long-term business, you will face winters.
Yeah.
Right. So this is just a season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when we started off during COVID.
Yes.
And right before the tech winter or finance,
funding winter, uh-huh. right? You call it so many terms, but we're doing well.
Uh-huh.
We are profitable. We are continuously growing. So I think we saw kind of mental preparation that hey, if we're doing this for the next 15, 20 years, we're gonna face a couple of winters.
Yes.
So just be very sort of strict in managing finances. Don't make rash decisions.
Yes.
Always do a lot of testing before you pull the big trigger, right?
Yes.
Or like they say, fire the bullet before the cannon.
Yes.
Right. So I think Grab has really trained someone like me to be able to think that way,
mm-hmm.
right? And also thanks to my previous more traditional experience at Apple, at certain sort of trading businesses, F&B, it taught me to be to be more frugal, right? So it's a mix lah, somewhere in between crazy fast-paced startup, right, and traditional profitable business. I think that's where we're trying to operate right now.
Okay, so that brings me to my question because we've talked about this also, tech winter. I think doesn't necessarily impact you guys as a brand aggregator, right? I mean, as I see it, you're already profitable, even though you only been, 1 year now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you think that tech winter doesn't impact you whatsoever? Is it because you've only invested into the company that already established, or is there any reason?
Yeah, I think we, first of all, the sort of tech winter affects a lot of sort of companies that are burning money, right? So they have a very short runway.
Yeah.
Hence, that's why they struggle, uh-huh. right? But I'm sure a lot of them are trying to do whatever they can to sort of pivot and fix their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we always set out to be a profitable startup, right? And because of that, we're lucky to be able to sustain throughout the winter, right?
Until now.
And still growing, right?
Yeah.
I think that's also very interesting because we don't just sustain, right? We're also growing.
Yeah.
But on top of that as well, I think from a very technical perspective, if you look at like VCs and PEs, you know, what do they want out of their portfolio of investments,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for them, they want to see a certain return, right? So for us, we bring profitable bottom line to investors. So they need that diversification. And I think on my own personal portfolio of investments, I think 90% of them are still not profitable, right?
Yes.
So I think having a profitable startup, whether it's a brand aggregator or other sort of industries,
mm-hmm.
I think that helps bring a lot of value to stakeholders, especially the investors that they are probably talking to. So it's a good diversification of their portfolio, and having a couple that are profitable. So during this time, even for investors, I think it'll be good for them too. So I think it's not just brand aggregators, but as long as you build a long-term,
yes.
profitable, sustainable business, mm-hmm. hey, I think you are sort of that unicorn now already, you know. Don't need to be $1 billion valuation. I think that's maybe in the past.
Yeah. So it's more than just brand aggregator, right? You nurture more to the portfolio other than funding. So you're also known as an agnostic, right? You do not choose what kind of categories that you are investing, but you only have 6 right now.
That's right.
Is there any reason why you pick so little compared to other companies? They invest in a lot of SMEs and stuff like that. You only have 6 now.
Yeah, it's a great question, right? And it's something we constantly evolve and learn ourselves as a startup.
Yeah.
So we believe in building depth, right? Oh. And size of brands.
Yes.
So we always say each brand that we bring on board and partner up with at Jufu,
uh-huh.
We always want to bring them to a national brand, to a trillion rupiah business.
And also globally?
Eventually, right? That's the way to go.
Uh-huh.
So let's get you in the local scene first. Be known as a local brand nationally.
Mm.
So we like to build that. I think looking at the current categories we're in, the consumer behavior,
mm-hmm.
And it's very expensive to constantly acquire new users.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us, if you build that, you build customer loyalty,
mm-hmm.
you have great products known within your category, I think that helps to build a more organic business.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why we choose to find brands that are able to work with us on the long term and build that scale, right? Rather than have 100 brands that but small. So that's sort of one of the big priorities we have, looking for brands that are able to scale up to the national level, trillion rupiah businesses, yes. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So my last question is, what is your take on the next level or next step for the brand aggregate? What is the landscape for the next for 2 or 3 years? Is it going to be evolving or organically only you and probably a few players that able to survive? How do you see in the next 2 or 3 years for brand aggregators?
Yeah.
Is it like e-commerce? Only 3 right now?
Well, I would love to see more more of Alta business model out there, because no one's investing in UKM, right? You have the VCs.
They are targeting SME or UKM, but not necessarily invested.
Right? So a lot of them supply things to UKM, right? They want to gain business from there.
Right.
But no one's putting in money to them.
Yeah.
You ask a VC, when was the last time you invested into SME, right? Ganda.
Yes.
B, oh, sorry, but we only take the $100 million businesses. Maaf, yeah. So who goes to them, right? I think for us, because of my background at Grab and, you know, working very closely with the locals, the orang lapangan in Indonesia, with the Grab drivers, the merchants, I feel an affinity to them.
Yeah.
Right? So I took that out of that that experience and I said I love to work with these people, right? Because I was them before.
Yeah.
Right? And I want to help them scale up.
Yeah.
Right? With the experiences that, you know, me and my team have gathered. So I think it's very important that a lot of us actually sprout out and invest in UKM, right? Because the more money goes in, I think you can see it gets bigger, right? Generally. So that's one very important part. Like, we hope for more, right? Yeah, we want more. I'm not saying we don't need to be competitors because the market is so big.
Okay.
It's so big. Like, you know, what's retail? Massive, right?
Okay.
You look at MAPE, you look at Era Group, you look at all these retail brands, right? And it's so big. And more coming up, right, UKM.
Yeah.
And so we love to see more brand aggregators, more people investing into that D2C brand, right? So that we can grow that space together. So that's one part, the funding part. But the second part, I think, where, you know, I see the landscape is the way that brands are able to sell into the ecosystem in Indonesia is still not fully matured. Compared with say US or Europe, China, where there's, you know, Amazon is so dominant, Alibaba, TikTok is so matured, end to end, right, from fulfillment all the way to, you know, the end user. I think that those are very matured infrastructure. So we're probably a couple of years behind, and until that sort of reaches the level of these more matured markets, a lot of brand aggregators, direct-to-consumer brands, need to build their own infrastructure. Yeah, especially like for distribution.
Yes.
Online and offline. It's tough to manage both. And we've done a decent job. We definitely can do much better.
Yes.
But, you know, we think that there isn't a good local distributor here that can help UKM to distribute their products. Yes. So, so we said, hey, let's build our own.
Yeah.
Right? Let's help our brands to distribute to offline stores even, which, you know, right now we have about close to 20,000 delivery points.
Yeah.
We work with the usual Indo Alpha Mars, Modern Trade, supermarkets, you know, Era, Blibli, etc. You know, so I think it's, that's still lacking, right? And we need to invest capital ourselves to build these services for our brands, which is, I think tough. Like you have to, you know, acquire brands. You have to grow brands. You have to build infrastructure. So you can see the requirements there, right? And then the expertise also is not easy to come by.
Yeah.
Because I think not many people have skilled businesses that way here. So I think for brands, if they want to scale up to be a national brand, it's still not so easy. It's gonna take a while, for that infrastructure to mature. So that's why
a lot of brands are looking to work with groups and aggregators like us because we provide them that infrastructure.
Thank you so much, CJ, for your time. Hopefully, I hear some more good news or update from Chufu.
So far, so good. Always good here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
DS Podcast minggu ini bersama saya, Yeni Yusra.